Bible. We hadn't handed out the Bibles yet. Woo-hoo. Where's my deacons? Everybody's a deacon this morning. How's that? I cheated. I got mine printed out. So I want you to be looking with me this morning. How many remembers, well, how many knows about the Jake break? How many knows what a Jake break is? All right. We use it all the time, don't we? You know, I was praying about this the last several weeks, really, and I was studying on three stages to a strong relationship with God. And when I thought of the word stage, it only one thing come to my mind, that's a Jake break. Three-stage Jake, all right? Living the Christian life is like coming off Mont Eagle, maybe Cabbage, maybe Donner, maybe old Grapevine out in California. You start off at the top, kind of easy, right? We know what's ahead. That is, if you got any sense. I know we got those stories about coming off wide open. The best story I've heard, by the way, about Mont Eagle, everybody go over Mont Eagle once in a while, right? Well, the best story I've heard so far, and it started out, you ain't going to believe this, and I didn't. He said he run out of air going down the mountain. Didn't know what to do, and he had a car down there, so he grabbed his air horn, not thinking that he didn't have any air. Grabbed the air horn, and he was running so fast, the air went through the horn and filled air tanks up. Top that one. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property in Phoenix I want to talk to you about.
Hey, I got some great land in Florida to sell you. It's only under 3 feet.
But if you're coming off the mountain, start off easy, right? Stage one. Stage one in a Christian life is being born again. Can't go nowhere without that. Get to know Jesus Christ personally. That's where we all need to be. That's the most important thing in our life. Doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever. We're going to be in one heaven. Amen. There's one body of Christ. We're all going to be there together. Don't tell everybody because they think they got a patent on it. But God's going to build my mansion right side of there so I can irritate them for 1 million years or so. I get told all the time I don't look like a preacher, and I tell them, thank you. I don't know what one looked like. But I want to act like a Christian. Amen? Amen? It's what we do that counts more than what we say. Step one, or stage one, being born again, Romans 10. If you don't have time to write all these down or you miss some, let me know. I want to give you the scriptures before we leave. And please take the Bible with you. We want you to keep that as a gift from Truck Stop Ministries. And I want you to read it. I want you to read it often. So, Romans 10, verse 9, very simple. But we've got to start with a foundation. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Most everybody agree with that. Everybody believe that Jesus died on the cross, right? Everybody believe he was raised from the dead, all right? Got the basic, right? So far, verse 13 of that same chapter says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You believe that? You know what? I'm glad he said it like that because he didn't put any conditions on that. No matter who you are, where you've been, he's only concerned with where you're going. We can't do anything about our past. I bet if I asked for a show of hands, everybody would raise their hand saying, oh, there's something in my past that I wish I could change. But how many knows we can't do that? It's gone. It's gone forever. But we got today. Today is a very special, precious commodity that God has given us. Well, what are we going to do with it? That's our choice. But he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then 1 John 1:9 kind of caps that off. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, another point to make there is it don't matter where you're from, what you've done. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Nothing else needs to be done. Nothing else needs to be done except repent. Now, there's a difference in repenting and apologizing. We apologize because we're sorry we got caught. We repent if we're sorry we did it. Big difference. Big difference. And God knows our heart. It don't matter so much as what I think of what you said. God knows your heart. We come to that point in our life and we say, Lord, forgive me. Do we just want to get soothed? Or we say, Lord, when we repent, by the way, repent means to turn around and go the other way. It means to do 180. You know you can't do that by yourself. I can't do that by myself. Billy Graham can't do that by himself. We need Jesus Christ. And he's promised if we'll call on him, if we repent, he'll save us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, part of the way down the slope, down the mountain, we start picking up speed. Stage one's not holding. How many out here hauls heavy load? OD loads or whatever, okay? You can really identify with this, I imagine. Start down the slope. Stage one won't hold it no more. So what do? Step up to step two, right? Stage two. And in that, what that means is we're getting deeper in our Christian walk. All right, we're born again. That's okay. We got that settled. But the slope is getting steeper. Life is getting harder. There's more temptations coming my way. And you of all people know that. That third verse of Amazing Grace, I think, was written for us drivers. It says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Right? Well, we can identify with that, can't we? Bob Hathaway, a good friend of ours with the AM coach, went and picked up a driver in Ohio in the winter. Everything on his coach froze up. He said they'd be working on one side of it, got it thawed out, the other side would freeze. They'd go over there and work on that, and that side would freeze. He said he hoped nobody had any problems in Ohio in the winter no more, because he wasn't available. We run into things as we go along, and life gets a little more difficult. Things happen. Things happen we don't understand. We lost our grandbaby, you know, a couple of years ago, y'all know about that. You prayed with us through that, and Jan and I really, really appreciate that because your prayers are the only way we got through that. But that also made us dig a little deeper in our Christian walk, okay? And that'd be stage two. Philippians 1:27. I don't even have a real timetable, so y'all, when you start leaving, we'll quit. No. I got a chip to go in my recorder. It's 2 gigabytes. That's good for 32 hours, so we're all right. Just kidding. I asked my IT department how long it would run, and they told me 32 hours. I said, well, I ought to get several messages on that, and they said several of most people, maybe two of yours. I get no respect there. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be it as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I will hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Stage two is being transformed into his image. Things start to fall off, hopefully. Now listen, I don't know about you, but when I got saved in December 1971, the next day I woke up in the same fleshly body I had the day before. And it liked the same stuff it liked before. And a lot of it wasn't good. But you know, we make choices all the time. Do we yield to that or yield to God? And it's all about growing in your walk. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We should be constantly increasing. How many has raised children? Most everybody. What if you didn't give them nothing but milk? They wouldn't grow, would they? We go to Gerber baby food, so to speak, or something. Of course, when we were growing up, we never heard of that. We had pot liquor and cornbread or something. I don't know what Mama gave me first. But as we grow in our walk with the Lord, and just like coming off the slope, we need more and more and more. We need more nutrition, more spiritual nutrition. Further down the slope, get a little steeper now. Look at John 14:23 with me. We're coming on down the mountain, and it dropped off. I don't know about you, but there'd been a lot of guys from the West Coast, you know, especially in the old days. I remember when Mont Eagle was a total of three lanes. Anybody else? Remember the good old days? A lot of guys that run the mountains out west get on that one. It'll trick you. Going down the east side, it'll level off a little bit, and you get brave. What happens around that next curve? Down again. That's right. If we get brave, we kind of cut back a little bit. Say, well, I don't need all that much Jake. I just cut it back a little bit. Slowing me down. That other guy's fixing to pass me, and I can't have that happen. I know you're not like that. The only reason I was behind somebody in the old days is because I couldn't get in front of them. There was something about leading the pack. That old flesh. Now, that's before I got saved, okay? And after. No. Honestly. But growing in our Christian walk, we step up to stage three. Look what John 14:23 says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. We so readily say, I love God. I do. But do we really? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. 14:21, I'm sorry. Thank you, ma'am. I cut some of the scripture back this morning, so I didn't change it. I had two more pages to start with, so might get out to that 32 hours after all. But he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, how can I do that? We've got to grow in our Christian walk and bury ourselves, so to speak, in this book called the Bible. This book is infallible. This book is inherent. This is not the good book. This is not a good book. Gone with the Wind was a good book. Or Who Shot Sally might be a good book. This is the book. The only book. You might use different versions. That's okay. But what did the Word of God say? This is what we base our life on. I'm sure if you go around a truck stop, I left to go in the chapel when we were at home at the office. when I have a minute, I'll go in there, sit at the counter in the truck stop, and listen to the philosopher. I tried to get a couple of them to run for president. If we get one of them in office, our troubles are over. I mean, they got it together, right? We all like to think that. You know, the thing about people that act like they know everything, they just irritate those of us who do. Not really. I don't know nothing. You know, I've been serving the Lord since December 1971, and the more I study this book, the more I realize I don't know. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper if you want to. Kind of reminds me of a swimming pool. You get in on the wading end, you can sit right there, not get any further. You're still wet. You're still in the pool. But if you're going to swim, you got to go a little further. Amen? You got to get on down out of the 3-foot range or whatever it is and get out there into deep water. If you want to enjoy your Christian life, may I say that you're going to have to get out in the deep water. You're going to have to commit some time in this book. This is the only book. Oh, I don't have time, Chaplain Joe. You got time to do whatever you want to. I've got time to do whatever I want to. I had a habit for a while saying, if I just had time, or when I get time. God spoke to my heart one day and said, there's 24 hours in your day just like there was to start with. Nothing's changed. What are you doing with that time? I thought, I wish I hadn't asked that. If you don't want to know, don't ask, because he's kind of blunt. He's wonderfully honest. He promised to take care of us. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Another part of our stage 3 or growing in Christ is learning to walk in his word. Turn to 1 John over close to the back. 1 John chapter 1. We call it Little John. 1 John chapter 1. And I hope I still got this one right. If not, tell me. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. The Bible teaches us to walk in light. Now, I'm sure in a crowd this big, there's probably several denominations represented here. No doubt. Doesn't matter. What is our common thing here today? That's right. But what is this around us here? Truck. We're all drivers. We're all in trucking. And so be it. Just like she was saying, we're going to one heaven. As I said earlier, don't tell some people they think they got a patent on it. I know there's going to be truck drivers in heaven, because I know some that's already there. I know that there's drivers in heaven. There's going to be a whole bunch of them up there. I'm told there's going to be dispatchers up there. We have a chaplain that come on board in Jackson, Georgia, and he was in management with SD's Freight Lines. And the other night, he's a young fellow, about 37, and about the age of our baby, matter of fact. But he was just preaching his heart out, doing a great job, and just kind of a little phrase, he said, I was a dispatcher, and in that second, everything stopped. And in unison, the driver said, oh! Well, hey, God can save them. And there are Christian dispatchers, I'm happy to say. Few, but no. But, you know, they might look at us and say the same thing as drivers, right? I talked to somebody this morning, done refused to load 3 times, but he got his point across. Anyway, walking children of light, as children of light, well, let's read that. 1 John 1:5. You there? This then is the message which we have heard from him, and declare unto you that God is what?
Light.
And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. What is the darkness he's talking about here? Sin. Talking about sin. Walking in the light. Is anybody perfect? No. But, you know, that sometimes is a license to steal to some people. They use that excuse to get away, they think to get away with what they're doing. In other words, when you talk about a sin in their life, maybe they'll say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that's true. But you know what the Apostle Paul told us to do? Strive towards perfection. In other words, work on it. Work on it. And when we get to heaven, we'll be there. So he says, watch this now. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And we're reading out the King James this morning because I run out of New King James. I'm from South Georgia. We didn't talk like that. But it's good. It's a good version. It's good to use. What I want to mention is a word in the King James with E-T-H on the end like that, cleanseth, that indicates ongoing. Like believeth, walketh, and so on. So what we're saying here is it's an ongoing thing. We're born again, but we need constant cleansing. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've made a mistake or two this year. Today, this last hour, we all make mistakes, but again, do we quit? How many has ever got on the wrong road? Did you quit driving? How many has ever been done wrong? But did you quit? No. Same thing with our walk with God. We can't quit just because things go wrong sometimes. Now, there's also three stages of thinking, that three stages to go through. Real quickly, we'll run through this, that will change your life. You got to make changes in your thinking. Number one, Romans 12:2. I'm going to go through these. I'll give them to you in a minute if you want them. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how are we going to do that? How are you going to renew your mind? By what you put in it. That's right, with the Bible. Your mind needs constant renewing because everything you see goes in your mind. Did you know that? When you look up here, all these signs, you read them automatically. If you was in the military, you was taught to read the bulletin board. That's a habit stuck with me my whole life. I just read everything I walk up to. It's just automatic. Now, that goes in my mind. But the Bible says, here's another place, Romans 10:17, says that faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. So, what we see goes in our mind. What we hear goes in our spirit. We got to change the input. If you change the input, the output will change. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, one version says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what we hear goes in our heart. And what goes in our heart will come out of our mouth. So in our walk with the Lord, as we're going off the path, needing more Jake, more retardation, as we walk through this life, we need more of the Word, more of God in our life, and we need to hear it. I challenge you to get the Bible on tape or CD and listen to it. Hear the Word. Because again, it will go in your heart, it will go in your spirit, man, and by the way, that can never be erased. That can never be erased. At 61 years old, this up here don't stick too good no more. How many forget things once in a while? Well, that's because it's up here. Now, what we hear, though, have you ever I don't want to ask that. Better not go there. You can tell somebody, for instance, you can say, I hate you. You can spend your whole life apologizing, but they will never forget what you said. Why? Because it went in your heart. You heard it, went in your heart. You see, Satan knows that faith cometh by hearing, so he knows that he created fear, which is the opposite of faith, but it works on the same principle. So the fear goes in our heart. Again, will come out of our mouth. What goes out of our mouth goes in our ears. What goes in our ears goes in our heart. So it's a cycle. You want to turn around and make sure it's good stuff flowing. Question now. As we close out, I want to ask you something. What stage are you in? What stage of life are you in spiritually? Are you born again? If you're born again and know it, do you know it? If you're born again and know that, you can say of a certainty, if I die this moment, I'd go home to be with the Lord, just like that. I know that. There's not a question in my mind whatsoever, not a bit of doubt. I talked to Dave Sweetman. How many knows Dave? He writes for some of the articles. You know, we lost Dave's wife recently, and y'all, some of y'all have lost people. But Dave's wife was one of those unusual ones that wasn't sick. Nothing wrong. He was telling me yesterday the story. He was on the road as usual, called home as usual, talked to her on the phone. Everything was fine. He got a call back. It said she was having a problem breathing, I think it was. They rushed her to the hospital. In 24 hours, she was dead. Not much warning. And, of course, he said the same thing we've heard and said many times. Don't forget to tell somebody you love them. You know when we think of that? When it's too late. One day, believe it or not, the eastern sky is going to split wide open. According to my Bible, Jesus is going to be standing in the clouds. It's going to be too late. Too late to pray. My Bible says in Thessalonians that's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's quicker than that. In fact, an eye doctor told us one time, I heard him speaking, he said your eye twinkles 37 times every time it blinks. Now, I don't know if that's accurate. That's pretty fast. Even Mo can't talk that fast. She talked pretty fast. Anybody knows her. She worked in our office years ago, and sometimes I say, Mo, slow down. Put it on 33 and a third, say it again. I can't listen that fast. But you know, when this happens, or when death knocks on our door, and it surely will, all of us are going to die someday. This is not scare tactic, it's just truth. Just as surely as spring comes, summer's coming. As summer's coming, we forget about the snow for a while, but it's coming again, right? Sooner or later, we're going to hit it again. One day, we're all going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. The best way to do that is standing there with the blood of Jesus applied to your life, and your sins are covered and washed away by that blood. Worried about what somebody might think about you? Well, you need to worry about what God thinks about you. I know people laugh at me. They laugh about me. I laugh with them. I know who's going to win. I'm happy to say I read the last chapter in the book. I know how this thing works out. When, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if we claim to be men, and this applies to women too, we claim to be strong. If you're really strong, make a stand for God. Because that's what's going to count. When it's all said and done, all that we've accomplished in life, everything's come along, ain't going to amount to squat. We have a friend in Texas, in El Paso, that's a multimillionaire. And his attitude is this, I love it. He'll say, it could all be gone tomorrow. It could all be gone tomorrow. No big deal. He'll tell you what counts is peace in your heart. knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to close with a little prayer. I always do. You got something? Okay. All right. We can do that right after this. Hang on a minute. This is not closing yet. This is the first closing. No. You heard preachers say, in closing, that means I'm going to start over. No. What I want you to do, though, while we're all here together, you've heard the word this morning, not my word, but what God said. Okay, and I want you to receive it as that. But I want to pray a simple little prayer. There's somebody listening to me right now that says, Chaplain Joe, I'd really like to be a Christian. Don't know how. Or you might even say, I gave my life to Christ at some point. I was born again as a child, but things got in the way. In other words, what we're saying is, if you're not exactly where you ought to be with God right now, let's pray this together. We read the scripture in the beginning, and remember, all the stages don't work till you get one, and that's born again, more important than anything. If you'll pray this prayer and mean it from your heart, I'll guarantee you, according to the Word of God, the authority of the Word, He will save you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then as you get in that Word and study, you'll grow up in Him. Now, just like you're driving down the road praying, please don't close your eyes. That motorhome can't stand the impact, I tell you. But we can pray this morning. I want you to do it with your eyes open, heads up. I'm not going to come around and check on you. This is between you and God. If you mean it, great. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need to pray. Well, that's true. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. But supposing somebody around you needs to pray. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And if you don't mean it, you say, well, I don't want it. Well, go along with the gag. Because if you don't mean it, nothing's going to happen. I guarantee you God's not going to invade you. Unfortunately, He won't. And I said unfortunately. Sometimes I wish He would just make me do what's right. But He never will. That's always my choice. He never takes that choice away. So today, I want us to pray together. And a fisherman's going to come and close us out in a minute and whatever else we might have. But right now, I want everybody here to pray this prayer with me. And again, this is between you and God. But if you mean it, God wants to touch your life today and put you where He wants you and where you should be. Would you pray with me? Yeah. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. I thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. I receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.